Today we're going to be in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Last week we began our series on the Gospel of John, and we looked at John 20, verses 30 and 31, two verses. Today we're going to blaze very quickly and do three verses. But, you know, it's worth at times going very slowly through certain portions of Scripture because what they have in those few verses is incredible. It is so weighty. Last week I said that we were looking at the end of the gospel because John gave the purpose for writing at the end. And as we work our way through John, we want to keep that purpose in mind. And he said this, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name." And so we are now turning to the first chapter of John and looking at the beginning of that. And as we do, and as you turn to that in your Bibles, the pew Bibles, let's have another word of prayer. Lord, we come to look at your word and to dig deep into its meaning. We ask for your Holy Spirit to enlighten us. Keep our minds sharp and give us a keen sense of a view from you so that we would believe truth. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, using this analogy, as I did with the children, of a jigsaw puzzle, that if we look at the Gospel of Mark is the shortest of the Gospels, and who Jesus is unfolds slowly in Mark. It's almost as if Mark just wants us to keep guessing and trying to put these pieces together. And we do. He gives some key moments, and then it leads up to the resurrection. Matthew and Luke, at the beginning, give us the birth narratives. They tell us about who Jesus is, and we have a little bit clearer revelation of who Jesus is, but still, they're building and building and building. The Gospel of John, he begins with something that is so incredible. I think that it's awe-inspiring. It blows us away as we fully understand it. And he wants us to understand from the first few verses who Jesus is. And then as we work our way through the gospel, and as we're putting those pieces together, we are seeing more and more clearly. In other words, I think what John does is he goes like this. And you see the whole puzzle right now. And then as we begin to read it, he's going to move it closer to you, and he's going to say, now we're going to look at this piece right here. Now we're going to look at this one. Now we're going to look at this one. And then we step back, and we get to see more of the puzzle, and it becomes clearer and clearer. But you get that full look now, and that's what these first few verses are in John. It's this complete picture of who Jesus really is. And so we want to unpack it. Let's take a look at these few verses. So John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In the beginning. Now, John starts his gospel wanting us to see those words and then to look at what they would have called their scriptures, to see Genesis, and to go to Genesis 1, like what Jim read on page 1, where it just simply says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning. So there is a very purposeful, conscious reference by John going back to Genesis 1. In the beginning. And it clues us in a little bit to who Jesus is just by those words, in the beginning. And then John says something that would cause us to go, what exactly is he talking about? In the beginning was the Word. Now, I could have said in the beginning was Jesus, because he's talking about Jesus. He could have said in the beginning was Jesus, or in the beginning was the Son of God. Because remember, the purpose at the end, we're going to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. He could have said that, but he chose to say in the beginning was the Word. Well, what does that mean? There's a lot, and as we see, it says that all things were made through him. When we go back to Genesis 1, God speaks, let there be light, let there be, and there was. All God had to do was to speak. His Word went forth, and it came to be. With God, there is no distinction between his will, his word, and his actions. For us, there is. But God is all-powerful. John says it is. We can look at Jesus as being the Word of God. This is the Word that is spoken. It reveals what God's will is and accomplishes God's will. And Jesus is the Word, in that the Word of God reveals the truth of God. God's character is truth. So as God speaks, truth is revealed. So in the beginning was the Word, it was the truth of God. Jesus said that he came to speak the words of the Father, to reveal the Father. And so the Word is revealing that will of the Father. And Jesus himself is the clearest representation of God. We get into that a little bit later in this first chapter of John, but it's right here in seed form. So in the beginning was the Word who reveals truth, who is the clearest expression of God. Then he says, the Word was with God. And here we have something that's very important. Jesus is not the same as the Father. And here the reference of with God is with the Father. Jesus never claimed to be the Father. He is the Word. He is separate from. He is with the Father. There came a view early on in the first century and in the second century, a view of Jesus, trying to understand who he was, that kind of identified Jesus and the Father as being the same. And that view was called modalism, because it was the mode of God. And they said that the way that we understood God in the Old Testament was just simply as these other names. And we call them God or God Almighty. And that was God's name and the way he revealed himself then. Then we come to Jesus, and he reveals himself as Jesus. Then afterwards, the Holy Spirit comes, and God is now revealed as the Holy Spirit. But it's just the way that the mode that God is at that particular time. That was rejected. That was not considered to be true biblical teaching, that God is one, there is one God, but we'll see as we work our way through John that there's Father and Son, we see that today, and then there's Holy Spirit. But it's not three different modes at three different times, it is three different persons at the same time and of one essence, which is mind-boggling in itself. But when it says here that the Word was with God, it rules out any form of modalism, that you have God as the Father in the Old Testament, as the Son in the New, and the Holy Spirit in our age. So it rules that out because he is with. And then it shows that there is a relationship. And it's not merely that you have these two, but he's with, or as some commentators point out, that the word there is kind of oriented towards, that the Son, the Word, is oriented towards the Father. There is this relationship between the two. And that is so important for us to flesh out over time, to know that God has this relationship within the Godhead, is fully complete in and of himself. He doesn't need us to have relationship. We understand how important it is to have relationships. Without them, we kind of die inside. And that's been demonstrated with infants. Infants that were just kind of put in nurseries because there weren't parents. These are in orphanages in other countries, and they didn't have human touch. Their development was stunted, and their character was not what we would call normal. We were made for relationship. But here's the important thing, and it's so incredible. Good news for us is that when we were created, it wasn't out of a need that God had. God was already complete in and of himself. And out of his fullness, he wanted to share that. And so it is right here in that the Word was with God. They were together in relationship with one another. And the Word was God. Now, you have to understand, John, a first century Jew, for him to say that is dangerous. For him to say that Jesus was God is blasphemy unless it's true. And we believe it is true. And we talked about that last week. And John giving a witness, people knew him, and he stood up under trials and the temptations of life. The disciples of Jesus had a huge decision to make, one that really doesn't impact us as much right now. They had to say something that all of their relatives, all of their friends, in fact, their entire religion would say is blasphemy. It is speaking against the one God when they declared that Jesus is God. And they did it, knowing that they would be ostracized, knowing that they would be put to death. But they did it because they believed it, and they saw the risen Lord, and it was demonstrated to them who Jesus was. So we have that affirmation here that is incredibly dangerous for them. We approach it with caution also, because as we try to put this together, there's a lot of directions that one could go and make some mistakes with it. One of the mistakes that's made, and it's not made by Orthodox Christianity, it's by groups that we might call cults, that are made up of people who are very sincere, who believe in what they are taught, but they will add a word in here that says that the Word was with God and the Word was a God with a little g, and that Jesus was more like an angel or an archangel and a created being of God. And it's not what's being said here. We'll be able to see that a little bit later by the context that is here, but also by the Greek language. So you don't have to know the Greek. The context will reveal this truth as well. But the Greek language has certain rules to it. And the rules of the language really necessitate that it say that the Word was God. And it's, again, ruling out any form of modalism, because it doesn't say that this is the God, that Jesus is the God, so he is identified in that way. And it's not he is a God, so a created being either like us or like the angels. It is he was God. But remember, it said he was with God. So we're already picking up something about God, this in relationship, the Word with God, and now he was God, that there must be at least two persons to this one God. There is not a polytheism that is here, because it doesn't say the Word was one of many gods. He was in the beginning with God. Now here is John saying, I just gave you hard stuff, maybe confusing stuff. Now we're going to make sure that it's clear. We don't want you going off in wrong directions. And so he was in the beginning with God. Who is the he? It's the Word. It's Jesus. He was in the beginning with God. In other words, the word with is emphasized there again, and the word beginning is emphasized. So he is with God. It's not, again, this modalism. It's the one God. He was in the beginning with God. If he's in the beginning with God, then he's saying that he's equal to God. He's co-eternal with God. God has always existed. Then the Word has always existed. And that is important. It's important for understanding who the true nature of Jesus is. And when he says the Word was God, he is saying the Word was co-eternal. So let's go back and look at this. It says, he was in the beginning with God. He was right there in relationship, in fellowship with God. So no misunderstanding whatsoever. It's not that Jesus came later. It's not that Jesus is a mode of God, but he was in the beginning with God, co-eternal. Now again, this is really deep stuff, but John wants us to understand this right up front, who Jesus is, because he is utterly unique. There's no one like him, and he is God. All things were made through him. Now who created? We go back to Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So John is going to say, okay, this word, all things were created through him. So when God spoke, the word of God going forth, all things were made. Now, we read as an affirmation of faith Paul's letter to the church at Colossae. So Colossians 1, where it says that Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. And so he's equating that. He's saying that the Word was God. And he existed before God made anything, speaking to that co-eternal aspect of God, supreme over creation. Christ is the one through whom God created everything in heaven and earth. He made the things we see and the things we can't see. So absolutely everything in all of creation, not just here on earth, the vast expanse of the universe, and not just the things that we can see, all the powers, the spiritual beings, the spiritual realms, everything that we don't fully understand, he made those things. We see something like that also, the writer of Hebrews. So I have the verse here in the bulletin, that God spoke to our fathers long ago by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God. So again, he is equal to God and the exact imprint of his nature. Same nature, one God, one nature, but we see Father and Son. And he upholds the universe by his word of power. So you have the word there again. God speaks, the word accomplishes it. So all things were made through him. Now this is Jesus' relationship with all of creation. He made it. He is intimately involved with creation from its existence because it's all made through him. Now you think about that, because Jesus, who becomes our Savior, is the one who made us. All things were made through him and for him. He saves us for himself. There's a lot packed into that. And when we see Jesus there at creation, and all things were made through him, and salvation of his people is in the divine will, we see that Jesus being our Savior isn't an add-on that came later. Wasn't plan B, things didn't work out the way that was intended. He made all these things. And from before the foundation of the world, he knew that he was going to come and die in our place. All things were made through him. Now, here is where someone could say, okay, all things were made through him, but he could still be a created being. Right? So if they want to argue with the phrase, and the word was God, and say, no, that should be the word was a God, John comes back and clarifies things. Just says, you've got to understand this. And without him was not anything made that was made. What an awkward phrase. Why would you put that in when you've already said all things were made through him? It's because John wanted us to be sure of who Jesus is and not see him as a created being. And then after God made him, he was the agent of creation and he made everything else. So John adds these words, and without him was not anything made that was made. And so not even the Son, Jesus, could have been made without the Word, who is Jesus. So it brings us right back to this. It must be the Word was God, and all things were made through him. Creation. He existed because he's God. He existed beforehand. So Jesus was not made. He made everything. John gives us this picture in these first few verses, packed with just incredible theology, packed with this view of who Jesus is that will unfold as he continues to write and to reveal what Jesus did and what he said. But he does this, I believe, because he wants to draw us into an incredible sense of awe and wonder, to worship. Again, when we look back to John chapter 20, and we see the purpose that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing that we might have life in his name, he says this right after Jesus appears to Thomas, that we call Doubting Thomas. And he says, see, put your fingers here in these holes. And don't doubt, but believe. And what does Thomas do? Thomas answers him, "My Lord and my God." The identification of Jesus again as God. And then John says, "These things are written so that you may believe this and that you may have life in his name." The fullness of life. And the fullness of life in him is being brought into his presence, understanding who he is, and worshiping him, because in worshiping him, we find our greatest joy. We find the deepest love. We find perfect peace. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. It is this Jesus that we come to worship. It is this Jesus that John will unfold in greater ways so that we can appreciate him more and more, and so that we can be like Thomas every day and just fall down before Jesus and say, "My Lord and my God." Let's pray. Lord, we are not sufficient for understanding your word completely. It is still a mystery. We would ask that you would give us greater and greater clarity, that you would draw us into a bigger picture of who you are, what you have done throughout history, what you call us to be and to do. Lord, we want to be fully submissive to you because we know that in you is life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.